We've slept off the tryptophan and worked off the pumpkin pie here at the Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast, ready for the final half of the Texas High School Football Playoffs. Allen? Well, they continue to roll on, winning yet again in dominant fashion over Arlington Martin and setting up a game of unbeatens with Denton Ryan. Avi, Matt, Rhiannon, and Corbett also ruminate on Frisco Lone Star and Mansfield Lakeridge, both with explosive offensive performances in the regional semifinals. Around a dozen teams are left from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and we have previews of their games and a discussion of Player of the Year candidates, all coming up on the podcast. Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast. It is the state regional final edition.
Whee!
Oh, it's always a great edition every year.
I can't believe that we're this far along, Matt. I know I've said that every week, but man, it's just like the season. We're halfway done with the playoffs.
Yeah.
In a couple of weeks, we'll be done with everything but the state finals, and we'll be headed to Houston. It really.
People talk about the football season seems so long from the first day of, you know, fall practices, and in a way it is. I mean, certainly compared to other sports, right. But it goes by so quickly.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. Okay, we got a lot to talk about. Some really interesting results this week. I think there's interesting results every week, but the very fact that you had Allen forging ahead and certainly looking good, you had a Mansfield team, you know, really in a tough tussle. That was a pretty tough battle for them. You had teams like. Mansfield Lakeridge and Frisco Lone Star look incredible offensively. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just we'll talk about all those games results in part one, and in part two we will preview the games coming up. Matt, yes. You covered the Arlington Martin Allen game, and we expected that to be a little bit a tight affair. Last year it was a 2-touchdown game, but certainly close late. This year, not nearly the type of drama. Allen. Just squashed Arlington Martin's offense, for lack of a better term. They only had, I saw a tweet from you. They had 23 offensive plays. 11 of them were for 0 or negative yards in the first half.
First half, that's right.
Just a complete domination by that Allen defense.
Yeah, I think, and it goes down to like core basics of your offense. Can you control the line of scrimmage? And Martin could not. Allen has done that to a lot of people this year, and you know, Coach Bob Wager was talking a little bit about that afterwards, that they were trying different things, but it's hard to get creative and be successful when you can't control the line of scrimmage. And I mean, I think they had 17 plays, counting passing and runs, for zero, you know, for no gain or less, and or backward, and you just can't do that. You know, but it was because Allen's defense was getting so much penetration. Eric Walker, Martin's quarterback, who I think is a good quarterback.
He's a nice high school quarterback,
definitely. You know, he made some good passes, but he was under pressure all the time. He had to be really tough. He was getting hit, was trying to run. And Martin was a little bit banged up. You know, they didn't have all the pieces of the offense that they had at the start of the year when they were so impressive against DeSoto.
Right.
And that's not making excuses for them. Allen was, you know, is the superior team in this case. But it was a really tough matchup at a tough time for Martin.
And here, when I thought, okay, well, because of his performance last week at the close of the game, Seth Green's going to be the guy. Well, no, they just put them in just like always. You know, Seth Green got his snaps, but Mitchell Jahnke got his snaps well, and he shined in his opportunities.
Well, I don't think Seth Green got a lot of snaps. He did get snaps, yes, but I think
he's got to meet the quota.
Maybe.
I don't know what's going on there, but
it's part of the contract.
It's tough. I mean, Jahnke, he threw those two.
I think that's a joke, everybody. Settle down, Allen fans.
Jahnke threw a couple interceptions the week before. But in general, I really like the way he runs that offense. You know, I think the advantage, you know, there's no doubt about Seth Green is a college quarterback, and he's got all those tangibles that they love. He's really big. He's strong. He can do those things. But in Allen's offense, Mitchell Jahnke is a much quicker. Seth Green's going to beat him in a 100-meter dash if you go straight. There's no doubt. I mean, he's going to beat most people. He's really fast. But he doesn't have kind of the fleetness. You know, he's a bigger guy. That is really important to that Allen offense. When Jahnke can get outside and do some things and run and buy a little bit of time. And they both throw the ball well, so you don't really have to, you know, that's not really a big consideration. And I think that's probably why, nobody has told me on the record by any means, that Jahnke kind of fits their offense better.
And the thing is, Jahnke is a little bit like Kyler Murray. Certainly not the dynamic athlete that Kyler Murray is, but he is a shifty player.
And he can get the corner against a lot of people.
Can get a corner against a lot of people and can make things happen with his feet to keep plays alive, to allow them to, you know, extend plays.
Right.
There are some similarities there. But Allen wasn't the only team playing. They of course, an impressive win. On the other side of that bracket, there was some hilarious hijinks with weather, as you might expect. All the teams that played in AT&T Stadium were fine, by
Monday
the way.
Monday night football.
Right.
Monday afternoon football.
Monday afternoon footballs between Amarillo Tascosa and Denton Ryan.
Which, that was interesting. That was more interesting than maybe some people expected.
Yeah, well, I mean, Tascosa runs a triple, like they're a flex bone offense.
Yes.
Which is going to cause problems against most teams, especially 6A teams, because they just don't see it.
Right.
It still was windy and cold like you would expect at this time of the year. It was played outside in Amarillo. That game was originally slated for a 1 o'clock kick. Got postponed until Monday morning or Monday afternoon. And Ryan pulls away with the win, but it certainly wasn't secure. Matt, you were out interviewing Allen players, and they were kind of following the game as it happened.
Yeah, they were in the weight room working out, and then they would get updates kind of in between sets.
That's crazy.
And at the end, and you know, just kind of like, ooh, here's the score or whatever. But I
surely
think,
from our website,
I would assume so.
but you know, people would say, well, gee, Ryan really struggled there. I think that's a really good win for Ryan. If you talk about all the factors that are going to be set against them, we mentioned that they're the triple or flex bone offense that they run is really hard to deal with in a one game situation. You're playing on the road. You're playing in Amarillo. You're basically playing in their backyard. And then on top of it, you're playing in poor weather conditions. So it's really kind of favor their offense because Ryan likes to throw the ball around a little bit. And so, you know, for them to come away with a win, that's a solid win, whether it's by 1 point or by three touchdowns.
Yeah. And that sets up a pretty juicy regional final there in 6A Division I Region 1.
Juicy.
If it wasn't salty, if it wasn't spicy, it's now juicy.
Well,
we're
going
to have to create.
We're going
to have to create
really
the Corbett Smith
cliche maker.
No, well, it's not a cliche because I mean, you don't turn on TV and hear the talking heads calling stuff salty. I think that's pretty unique.
You know, Matt Diggs called me out on Twitter, and justifiably so, when I was saying a region is very wide open. He's like, "Does that mean bad?" I'm like, well, you know, I try to keep things positive
here.
You know,
right.
I was like, hey, this region's wide open. This region's just not up to snuff.
Sanitation manager.
So, okay, let's get rid of Division One here by talking about Region Two. We had two teams advance. We have no teams now. Rowlett and North Mesquite both fall. Rowlett kind of in heartbreaking, you know, opportunity.
Yep.
They were close in that game. But Humble Atascocita in overtime, 31-24, ends Rowlett season, a very good season at 10-3. This is one of their farthest runs ever. On the other side of the bracket, you had an Austin Westlake team that just kind of, you know, waylaid North Mesquite.
They're real good.
Well, Sam Ellinger, their quarterback, I think that's how you say his name. Going to be going to the University of Texas, and
he got the trifecta.
As you might expect from Todd Dodge's offense, he is pretty talented.
He got a passing touchdown, a rushing touchdown, and a 5-yard receiving touchdown.
Yeah, talented dude.
Did he block a punt? Don't come to me. I mean, he didn't block a punt kick a field goal.
Go Browns. I think like from what I was reading, like they were up by so much at halftime. I mean, I think they kind of called off the dogs in the second half.
Well, that was it for Region 2. Those teams go home, and you've got an Humble Atascocita and Austin Westlake matchup in the next round. In Division 2, Denton Guyer continues to surprise. You know, tons of running from their quarterbacks, Sean Robinson.
Yeah.
Once again, with a big you know, rushing performance. Their freshman, Noah Kane, you know, with over 100 yards, and their other running back, Myron Mason, with a big game as well. That's a team that's really I just don't know how to peg
it. A lot of it is too is the health of Robinson. You know, he left that game for at least one series. It might have been two series.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think he has an injured shoulder. I can't say for sure, but there's something that's not quite right with him. Although when he gets wide open and he can run, that's very right for him.
I would like to congratulate state quarterfinalist Keller Central. I mean, what a great job by them.
Wow. To that same effect, that makes it even more impressive, the fourth down throw he had, though, in the back of the end zone. Because that, I saw that, and I'm still looking for that video right now. But seeing the amount of people there and having that injury and still getting it right to his receiver, my God.
Yeah.
That's the concern, though. He is not thrown for over 100 yards in, like, forever, it seems. Yeah. This game, he was 4 of 11 for 30 yards, but did rush for almost 100, 13 rushes for 98 yards. Myron Mason rushed for .169. Noah Kane, the freshman, .155.
He's so good.
He's good.
He's real good.
That 22, it makes Adam Bodeckard from the Denton Record Chronicle say, Emmett Smith.
Oh, good thing they're playing.
Yeah, so
Cowboy Stadium.
Yeah, they are playing at Cowboy Stadium.
I mean, AT&T. Sorry.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in part two. They will face Mansfield, which had a tough time against Arlington Lamar, a surprisingly tough time. Really came up and showed what they could do. It was an interception return for a touchdown late.
And then they get the onside kick
at
the end and to set up a last possession. And whenever you have Shane Bouchel, I mean, you could do anything.
And, boy, it was close.
But Kennedy Brooks, you're going to feed him the ball. You're going to feed that monster 40 carries in that game.
You know, Corbett, actually the interesting thing is before even the onside kick, it was Kennedy Brooks, he fumbled, and that was the thing. It's like you're sitting there looking at like the amount of people around him, and then someone just pops it out, and they recover the ball, Arlington Martin does, and then a few plays later, again, 19-yard touchdown, I believe it was, and that's what set up the onside kick in the first place.
Right.
So it's kind of like, it just, as momentum is going, I'll sit there talking to some other players, like, is this how it, like, this is intense. It's like, I feel like I'm a part of this game right here on the sideline. It's crazy.
It was a surprisingly close game, but, Lamar really kind of showed itself to be of that class. You know, they only had one loss all year.
It
was a blowout loss to Martin.
They had some victories that weren't convincing.
Richland.
Right.
They were very fortunate to beat Richland. And, you look at what Richland did. They contended for a playoff spot until the final week of the season, but I don't think anybody would say, that's an area power. You look at what Mansfield had done over the course of this season, which is beat everybody in their district. What we think is the best district, and I thought that they were a 2-touchdown favorite, shows that sometimes these playoff games, these teams ramp up over the course of the season and they're playing their best, and Lamar certainly was playing their best.
Small consolation, I'm sure, for Lamar, but they certainly showed everybody they were very legit, a contender. They were right in that game.
There's no doubt about that. Another team that is super legit, and that is Rockwall. Mm-hmm. Rockwall has a gigantic fourth quarter. This was a game that they played in Waco against Spring. They scored 29 points in the fourth quarter to win 43-26. They've had contributions from a lot of different guys. Sam Crawford was a guy who scored 2 touchdowns in that fourth quarter, a 78 and 18-yard touchdown run. But he primarily plays he's their wide receiver, kind of flex guy that they can roll out. The guy that has been really the bell cow for them is Caleb Broach, and he's really shown to be a very ample replacement for Chris Warren.
Yeah.
He rushes for 127.
We lost a great running back. Oh, here's another one.
Did you see that highlight? Do you have that highlight of him jumping?
Over two people? I do have the highlight. Yeah,
the way you say it, over two, is no big deal. He stops and jumps over two dudes and runs for a 60-yard touchdown.
Corbett, you have to understand, it's just like between that and what I saw last week with him, and I'm doing the week I missed last week and this week together. Did you see the 50-yard run he had last week where he got out of two tackles, bounced off another one, and then he just kind of outrun everyone else? I mean, when you see him jump over two people, it's like, I've seen better from him.
Oh, no. When I see anybody jumping over anybody in a football game, two dudes who are coming to tackle him with ill intentions. To me, that's always just really impressive. You have to pull off one of those Walter Don triple spin runs maybe to exceed that.
But how awesome for Rockwall. I mean, they started 0-3 and they've been rolling since then. And like you mentioned, Chris Warren, they had a great receiver, Xavier Castile.
Oh, yeah. Xavier Castile was
they replaced
the show,
those
both
guys,
those guys.
And they just keep rolling.
And they made it farther than that team, right?
Yeah, Will Reed he struggled in the rain, but they got it done. 4-22 with an interception, but for a .161. And, they are moving forward in the next round. So congratulations to Rodney Webb. Got to be in contention for Coach of the Year honors to have to replace all of that and still be there. Rodney Webb is certainly one of the area's best.
So, Corbett and Matt, does that mean that you guys are going to be picking them this week in our picks?
No, I'm going to pick against all these son of a guns.
Yeah.
They're people are so salty. Dude. And they're like nah, you know.
Are they salty or are they spicy?
No, they're actually
sassy.
Like,
they're sassy.
I think I've quelled them because I use the logic where I'm saying, all right, let's step back a sec. What's your record when we pick against you? Oh, undefeated? Yeah. Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. They're not undefeated because eventually they'll lose. There's only one state champion, and I don't hear them woofing when I pick them to win and they lose. Hey, you don't get us rut when you're wrong.
They play Lake Travis this week. And
somebody told me after Lone Star said, pick against me this week, and gave me a score. And guess what? In notable games, I'm going to pick against them with that exact score.
Good.
Okay. There you go.
I don't know. Like,
here's an early Christmas present.
If you're a football coach or a player, what do you do with a pick when the media predicts you to win? Like,
you
it's
don't
not
talk
as,
about it.
Right.
It's
not as fun.
You
like,
got to find
not,
different
like,
motivation.
We're doing them a favor.
I think a highly of every playoff team still around.
Yes.
I mean,
undoubtedly.
I really respect what Lone Star has done. I mean, that's been incredible. Yeah. What Coach Webb has done at Rockwall. Coach Webb's one of my favorite coaches.
And
Rockwall is, he's really turned that program from a okay program to one of these programs that's making these runs, beating these teams from the Houston area.
Right. You're not here by accident.
My job is not to, to pat people on the back.
Right.
I'm just
right.
trying to get predictions. Well, and I'm pretty good at picks. Not great.
No, you're doing
bad.
Well this year. You're doing well this year.
Matt's in first.
Are you still in first?
I don't know if I'm still in first, but I got to tell you, I'm probably not taking Rockwall this week either. It's just
the
bracket.
What bugs me, and I do just want to say this, is what bugs me is when people say, but you're the Dallas paper. Like, that's what kind of, annoys me. Yeah. Because, at that point, there's an actual understanding of what it is we do and why it is we're here.
Right.
Like, we're not here to be your cheerleaders. We'll pay more attention to Dallas schools because that's our area. Like, we'll obviously write about them. But when it comes to something like picks, if we think a team's going to win, we're not going to make that pick because, it's a Dallas team, so I have to pick
and
the Dallas
just
team.
Just picks.
Yeah, I was about to say, this is fun for us. This is, you guys gotta understand, all the other stuff we do, in our week, when we're writing other stuff, this is the most, maybe the most fun, but it's just it's
you
the
are
easiest
crazy.
Going thing.
You're crazy.
It's the easiest
you
thing.
You are the
have.
Craziest person ever.
And the
this is the least fun thing I do. It's always the last thing I do, too. It's like, I got to
get
my picks
in.
Oh, no.
Yep,
that,
I know.
No, yeah.
I get done.
I'm just like, I got 10 minutes to get my picks in.
Greg usually sends it to us, I think, on a Wednesday, and that's my day off. And so I'm in my pajama pants and eating Cheetos, and I'm like, yeah, sure. Let's throw darts at a wall.
We have a guy named Nate who does our does the actual compilation of that.
Yeah.
And I get a reminder email. I've probably gotten them
hey,
Corbett,
let's
get your picks in. And I'm man, I forgot about my picks. Right.
Well, for me, that was our poll when we did the local poll because that would be a thing you do Saturday night. And I would wake up Sunday at noon and be like, man.
And the other thing is with this, I'm going to pick Lake Travis this week.
Yeah.
But of course, I would love to see Rockwall play next week.
No, I
don't care if my pick is proved wrong. I want Rockwall to win. But when I go in there and I see Lake Travis as an undefeated team,
a good quarterback.
I got to do what I got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a very solid program. So, yes.
Yes.
Moving.
Indeed.
Yes.
Moving on. Apart from inner work-related squabbles. 5A Division 1, Region 1. One of those games that was kind of screwy. Randall and Centennial that was postponed.
Yep.
And I don't even know who won that game, to be honest. Who won that game?
Randall did.
Yeah, no shocker there.
Canyon Randall.
And they'll play Aledo, who shuts out Abilene Cooper. Aledo, just a beast.
Oh, boy.
They won 33-0.
Rachel.
Longview and Wiley. Matt, you were at that game. You covered that game.
I was covering that
game. That was a early afternoon start at AT&T Stadium. Wiley did what Wiley needed to do, just keep hang around in that game against the Longview team.
They did. They got within, were they within a touchdown or two, and they had the ball in the second half, but they couldn't muster enough offense. And when you get into about the third and fourth quarter, Longview has a really big offensive line,
right.
And they got good power and speed in their backs. It just wears you down. And when they couldn't sustain some long drives for them, their defense got tired. It was all kind of a continuing cycle, and then Longview was able to pull away. And I think Coach Howard for Wiley, he didn't think that they brought their A game. He was proud of his players and everything, but he was a little disappointed by their performance, but I thought Longview was the better team, and so it just kind of played out that way.
Well, Longview will get a taste of a team called Mansfield Lake Ridge, which is just a juggernaut at this point. They've just been rolling. They 69-40 against Mesquite Poteet. They get a 775 yards total offense. Jet Duffy goes.
They were like at 500 at halftime, or close to 500. It's like 450.
Duffy throws 25 for 40 for 452 and three touchdowns. He also rushes 27 times for a .147.
He's still in an ice bath right now.
I bet. Their closest game all season is a 17-point win, and that was against a 6A opponent in Fossil Ridge that I was at that game. Other than that, they've beaten everybody by 20 or more. Do they beat Longview by 20 or more? We'll talk about that in part two, but that's a really impressive-looking team right now. Mm-hmm. Thoughts, everybody?
Can we look forward to a Twitter spat if they do from other East Texas teams?
You mean Longview? Longview, I mean, Lobos,
no, it was Marshall.
Yeah.
It was Marshall who said, way to run up the score, Lake Ridge, real classy.
I think it was Longview who was talking about the Marshall Lone Star game.
No, they're talking about Longview, Lone Star.
I guess we can look forward to some more of that. I was fairly entertained by that. That was great.
But yeah, Aledo and Lake Ridge would be bananas.
That would be. We'll talk about a little bit of that in part two. Let's go real quick through the rest of these. Division two. Everman ends up beating Canyon on Monday, one of those games that was delayed until Monday afternoon.
The fighting steps.
The fighting mad steps. They'll face Dallas. Lake Dallas, 51-21 over El Paso East Lake. Dagan Hand leads that team in rushing, coming off of an ACL tear, and he didn't start the season.
No, he didn't even get, not until halfway through the season.
He leads the team in rushing, which is pretty impressive. Lone Star and Marshall. Boy, cover your, hide your wife and kids. 56-7.
How long did it take Marshall to get a first down in that game?
Marshall had, it took them until the second quarter. Their first down was a 67-yard touchdown run.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from that run, they had 50 yards offense.
Jeez. Wow.
And they had done big things the week before to South Oak Cliff.
And that is a team that beat Longview.
Yeah.
That's Longview, one of Longview's losses. Lone Star, man, I don't know what to say.
Tough up front.
Great, not super big, but really efficient on the offensive line. Defensive line was active. The linebacking core was looked great. Their rushing attack looked solid. Jason Shelley is a real star in the making. He will have a great senior year if he stays healthy next year. I was really impressed with that performance. I don't think anybody could come away with that game from that game and think anything other than that. They will face Lancaster, who took care of business. Ryan Ross ended up throwing for almost 200 yards in the outside.
That's what shocked me. I thought they were going to have some trouble because they're such a throwing-based offense or a wide-open offense.
Yeah, 20. He throws for 200 yards in a 40-21 win over Terrell. I think that's going to be one of the games of the state next week when you look at Lone Star and Lancaster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the records might not show it for people outside of the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but it certainly is going to be a salty matchup.
That's going to be real interesting.
I mean, sure, but that's like also the DeSoto-Allen game. DeSoto's record didn't show it, but I mean, we knew it was going to be a good game, didn't we?
Right.
Yeah, so.
Okay, well, let's go to the division. I guess Class 4A Division 1 brackets. Argyle beats Kennedale in a pretty resounding fashion.
Yeah, pretty resounding.
I thought that would be a little closer.
I did too. And Argyle gets it done on the ground. You know, the Drew Estrada and,
Drew Estrada in multiple ways.
Yeah, Drew Estrada is a real, they've used him very much, in the way of Ian Sadler a couple of years ago where he can be a receiver. They can put him at Wildcat quarterback. They can put him at running back. They can use him at the slot and run jet sweeps. But he had a big game, as did their whole, rushing attack. He rushed for a .137 on 7 carries. Taylor Sweat rushed for over 100 yards, and Dane Ledford rushed for 74 yards in that game. And they pull away with 21 points in the fourth quarter, 58-34. Mm-hmm. On the other side of that bracket, Texarkana Liberty ILO ends up ending Kaufman's season, 38-22. Big performance by their quarterback.
Good run, Kaufman.
That was a great run for Kaufman, absolutely. And in the Division II playoffs.
The fighting Matt Mosley's.
On one side, it's two shutouts. So what a exciting regional semifinal round that was. On one side, you get Salina, who beat Parrington, which is not really surprising. They win 46-0. Salina has been just a machine.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
On the other side, you have Crum. Mm. Crum shuts out Sweetwater. Mm. This is a Crum team that was 5-5 getting right. in the playoffs. Sweetwater was unbeaten, and everybody was statewide was looking for a Sweetwater Salina matchup. But the inclement weather and a great Crum performance, you get it done. 31-0. Crum and Salina in shocked. District. Yeah, just a, I mean, this is not just a kind of a win, but just a whipping. Yeah.
Isn't Gilmer in that? Like
Gilmer's in division. Gilmer's in region two. Yeah. And yeah. Gilmer beat
because they would meet the winner if
semis.
They win. Yeah,
yeah.
State semis.
We forgot to mention in Division One, a team called Navasota.
Oh yes,
got beat.
They gone.
They gone. Trinavian Dixon's high school career ends Carthage 55-48.
But now Coach Fedora can watch his brother in the ACC championship game.
Well, there you go. Lee Fedora.
Little Nuggets.
Yeah. Lee Fedora, the coach there for.
Lee and Larry.
And Larry. Yeah. Huh. That's his brother.
Yep.
On the other side of the bracket, you are in Division 3, Class 3A, Division 1. Sunnyvale takes care of White Oak. White Oak was averaging, allowing 10 points a game. Sunnyvale scores 32. In a 32-15,
they were over 10 in the first quarter.
Yeah, yeah. I mean they were rolling. You know they actually have a interesting dual threat system in place. Although Patrick Spear was their quarterback, you know this past week exclusively he throws for a buck 60, and had 32 rushing yards as well. Jill McDill's son has been the quarterback there as well, splitting time. Cash Goodhart. Had a solid performance
Money.
As well.
All these
one
familiar,
of my favorite names.
Also familiar last names for the Rockwall, or not Rockwall, Sunnyvale girls basketball team. Because there, I think
right.
there's a Gail Goodhart, I'm sure.
Well, and the baseball team. Sunnyvale's had such a
right.
great baseball team. You know, Lawson Ayo has had a fantastic career as a baseball player.
He's a great wide receiver.
He's a great wide receiver, too. Yeah, over 1,000 yards. He had 55 yep. yards in that win. They'll face Mineola.
I love that town name.
Mineola is a beast. Lost in the regional finals the state finals last year to Cameron Yeo.
Yep. The Yeoman.
In Taps, you had Bishop Dunn and Preston Wood both winning.
Big surprise there.
Yeah, shocker and shocker. You have the Christians winning.
Oh, come on.
Really?
In yeah. Taps? That's
in Taps.
Stunning.
Oh, yeah. Well,
in Fort
you know,
Worth
we
Christian,
can't, we...
Fort Worth Christian and Dallas Christian.
Yeah.
You know what the Friday Christians... night lights mean for us? Different kind of lights. We can't play football. Just saying.
So many jokes from you today. Just so many jokes.
I'm happy.
Yeah. And in Taps Division 3, you had a rematch, district rematch between TC Cedar Hill and First Baptist, and Cedar Hill takes care of business. You know, win by a bigger margin in the playoffs than they do in the regular season. Malachi Broadnax with a big performance in that game.
Oh. Dallas Christian, the Chargers.
They're the Chargers.
They get to play a team
Fort
from
Worth
Shiner.
No.
Yeah.
They play Fort Worth Christian.
Fort
okay.
Worth Christian. Oh. Yeah. The Christians
I thought
up.
It was – then who's the, on D1, the smallest one?
D3.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
And they're playing Shiner St. Paul. So Shiner and Shiner St. Paul are still alive. Just imagine if they would be able to beat Allen if they were a one-school town. Okay, that's it for part one. Part two coming up. We'll talk about the games of the week. Part two. Man, Avi is just
reserve
in rare
flapper.
Form today.
Okay, can I just real quick tell you? So yesterday I got home and I had the first migraine of my life.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
my
awful.
God. I was, like, debilitated. I was in bed just, like, paralyzed with my head throbbing and, mm-hmm. like, I felt nauseous. And mm-hmm. I missed the Ravens game, which might have.
Oh, on top of it all.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
I'm just saying.
Missed
it was
the Ravens game. That's a really good team.
It was a
I've
good
heard
game.
That,
look, it was
I've
a
heard
good...
that Joe Flacco interceptions are like headache powder.
Okay, he wasn't even playing.
Oh, is he hurt?
Jerk.
Yeah, he turned.
Yeah, he tore his ACL. So now we got to sign.
That's how much NFL.
You know
I
who
watch.
The you know who the Ravens the Ravens are now starting match up. That being said,
the Ravens still have a stadium of Ray Lewis outside, right?
A stadium of Ray
I
Lewis.
I mean,
outside?
A statue of Ray Lewis outside.
I don't want to talk about it anyway.
Where he looks like he's like angrily squashing some grapes.
Yes,
I mean
he's making some wine. And
good to see that he was giving some advice to
Johnny Manziel. Manziel.
Oh,
yeah, that's the person.
Oh my goodness!
I did see some funny tweets in regards to that.
The moral of the story is, I went to bed at 10 p.m. and I slept all the way through. So I'm like a little out of sorts.
But you're feeling better.
I feel so much better.
That's good.
Yeah.
Wait, Avi, just some migraine advice. You should take Excedrin migraine. It'll get rid of it in 15.
I have
chronic migraine, so I'll just
Sports Day HS sponsored by.
I have
Excedrin.
I have no
migraine strength.
When you listen to the second part of the podcast, you'll have a headache. Take Excedrin migraine. It works.
I have no meds.
Rhiannon Walker, approved.
Rhiannon walks out of the podcast and gets an envelope real quick and then sits back down.
Right, she's been signed.
That's where the kickback is.
Part two. Let's do it again. Okay, 6-8 Division I playoffs.
You better not edit that out.
No, I'm not going to edit that out. Ryan and Allen. Unbeaten. There's a very few games in the state that are involving unbeaten teams.
Yes.
But this game has a decided favorite. I think Allen is a solid favorite in this game. Ryan has played great. Spencer Sanders has been good at quarterback. They've got a really strong defense. But that defense has not seen anything like Allen's offense. Allen, the leader in our area in points per game, yards per game, just rolling offensively.
Yeah.
Any chance there for Ryan to this is what bugged me. Mm. If I'm Ryan or Tascosa, they had both agreed.
Less rest. Yeah.
They had both agreed before they even played on Monday to play at AT&T Stadium. Why would you do that? I mean, unless you just want to play at AT&T Stadium. To me, Allen, that is like their home. I mean, they've lived there and won there for they haven't lost there in forever.
Well,
or maybe never. I don't know. I don't know when the last time they played there and lost, but over the past 3 years, they've won a ton of ball games in that building.
More than the Cowboys.
Probably
not as many as the Cowboys. But in opportunities, they're certainly rolling in that. It seemed like a weird choice. I would want to get Allen outside and try to hope for rain or something to slow that offense down and try to play close to the vest. It's not going to happen. Ryan's going to have a tough task ahead of him.
Is it a money thing at all?
I think it's an opportunity thing.
Prestige thing. I mean, you get to play. I mean, you're guaranteed good conditions, and that's always nice.
See, I don't. I see it from Tescosa's perspective.
I did. Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Ryan, I think Ryan makes sense for them. They're comfortable in there. They also have an offense that is helped by a nice environment because they like to throw the ball.
But they're not going to win a shootout. They're going to have to
control.
Yeah, they're going to have to control the clock and run some time off.
That being said, I think Ryan does have a chance. I'm picking Allen. But I like Ryan because they're balanced enough. They have a really good defense. Can they slow down Allen? We'll see. But they have a very good defense. I mean, it's a really good defense. It's not a smoke and mirrors.
But what you have to do, what you've seen with Allen in the games that's been close, with the exception of DeSoto, which is always a weird matchup, teams have to match him score for score, you have to get in a punch, like a slugfest. And get there to the end and hopefully get a good break.
Well,
I mean, or just take advantage of the opportunities they give you. Like, even DeSoto had a chance at the end of the game, and they couldn't convert on 4th and 16. So,
right.
I mean,
right.
It's not like people don't get chances.
That's
very
exactly
far few in between.
What Rhiannon's saying, that's exactly how I would see a scenario where Ryan could win this game. A couple of interceptions. You know, DeSoto returned one for a touchdown.
Right.
Yes.
And they were right in there, and they had a drive where they could have – well, they had a chance to tie. They missed that extra point.
Right.
I think Ryan could do that if they hang in. I think they will need some help.
A heck of a story for Rhiannon coming up this week about Denton, the county of Denton.
Yes.
With so many teams at this round. Another one is Guyer. You've got Denton, Ryan, and Denton Guyer. You've got
Argyle
and Crum.
Do you say Lake Dallas?
And Lake Dallas.
Oh,
yeah.
But you guys know there's a surprise team in there. There's one more team. Can you guys guess it?
UNT.
It's right on the line of Collin County. Think of a city in Collin County, very fast growing city.
Dead air.
You're not talking Salina.
Lone Star.
Oh,
whoa,
Lone Star
is in county. I didn't know that.
Yes, no, actually, cool. I called the school yesterday, and the woman I talked to said, "Yes, we're in Denton County." I was like, "Oh, okay, cool. I just didn't want to make a mistake." She's like, "Actually, let me go check that real quick.
Let me go look outside. there's
like,
a sign that says Denton.
Right.
Go to Denton County."
But yeah, she's very nice, and so she had to make sure that it was in Denton County. So yes, that's going to be interesting. But they have 6 schools still left in the playoffs right now.
You talk about a rushing fest. Denton Guyer and Mansfield.
Oh yes,
going to be a billion rushing yards. I'll be there as well. Adam Bodecker. We'll be sitting together.
Oh, well, I meet Adam Bodecker finally.
Friday.
Yes.
That is Saturday at 2 o'clock at Carroll.
Oh, Dragon Stadium.
Dragon Stadium.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Yeah, so weather should not be a concern for those teams, you know, but it'll be a really interesting matchup. Guyers certainly surprised me in the playoffs. I thought that they were a flawed team coming in. They had that loss to Central and that loss to Ryan to close out the season. But Ryan has certainly shown itself to be, that's no shame to lose by 7 to that team.
Right.
They've played really well. Mansfield has as well. In Region 2, you've got Rockwall and Lake Travis. The Lake Travis team, who is 13-0, Rockwall is going to have their hands full in that game. That's a College Station in Kyle Field, a great venue.
Yeah,
the new Kyle Field.
Somebody's going to win there this week.
Yeah.
Wow,
man.
Hobby's
just
agreed
blasting.
With that.
That's A. Zalen right. at DallasNews.com.
Right. You just want everyone in your Twitter mentions this week, don't you?
Lake Travis, how much did they beat Midway by?
I believe a lot.
Yes.
I don't know.
I believe
I don't
it
have
was
that
a,
score.
It was very.
It was a blowout.
It was a shellacking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I thought Midway had a really solid team, and that's why. I think
when
I
they played Highland
Lake
Park,
Travis.
Yeah.
I mean, Lake Travis is certainly a team to potentially challenge Katy.
If
the
Rockwall
state
scores 29 points in the fourth quarter, they win.
Well,
there
we
go.
Oh, I like that prediction. Hot sports prediction.
Yeah.
Class.
Right. It's a very
I mean, Central
Grant
Texas is bringing it this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they definitely, I think, at least in that division of 6A and 5A.
Well, I mean, we don't talk about Region 3 very much, but that Region 3 final between Katy and Manville
is
probably the game to watch in the state. I mean, it certainly is a huge
Katy has really
battle.
Handled Manville.
Yeah, they have, and Katy right now is a buzzsaw. I think they've how many points have they allowed? Like 10 points in the last six games or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, they won their last game, I think, like 55-0 or 66-0.
They
one
have
of the two. And
just an unreal amount of shutouts.
Yeah. And I mean, and it's one of those things where it's like, man, would be nice to see them in Cedar Hill. But it's like, they got rid of the DFW boogeyman this year. But I mean, it's crazy just how much more parity is in Division II than Division I, and just how many more interesting teams you have, I think, matching up. Nothing against Division I, but.
Well, I mean, yeah, Division II, you've got your Mansfield, who's kind of a new guy on the scene. You've got Geyer, who has made a good run in 5A now, but back in 6A, you've got Rockwall and Lake Travis. Rockwall is an interesting choice.
Steele's
and you've got
there.
Steele and Schertz Clemens in the.
Everywhere you look, I mean, all those regions all just bring a really decent team in Division I. It's like, all right, who's going to beat Allen?
That's a good question.
So,
who is going to beat Allen?
Themselves?
No. I say nobody. That's my guess at
well,
this point.
Well, if they, whatever.
I think that I do think that the better teams are in Division II.
Right.
Apart from Allen, you take the next best team in Division II could be Converse Judson, or it could be Westlake. There's not a team in Division I that doesn't have a loss. Apart from Ryan, so it's you've got
and
Ryan and Allen.
Right. Yeah.
If Allen wins that game, then Umbletesca-Cita has a loss. Westlake has a loss and played Carroll close.
Westlake's
They're a pretty good team.
Yeah.
I mean, when you start talking comparing them to Allen,
right?
You got Galena Park North Shore, who has three losses. Dickinson, who
the
is,
show,
who's been a surprise in the last couple of years. They've played really well. They've got a loss, and then Judson's got a loss, and Smithson Valley has two losses. So I think Allen is the clear favorite if they can get past that hurdle this week. In 5A, Division I, Region I, you've got Aledo. That's going to be Aledo.
There you go. Yeah, that's all you need to know.
But in Region II, you've got Longview, the Longview Lobos, a very proud program, against Lake Ridge. Yikes.
I think
Lake Ridge is going to put it on them.
Boy, well, they're going to lay it on them. Good.
Longview has great history. I mean, they've been a great
program.
It's going to
do nothing for
them. But I haven't seen a more impressive – I haven't seen Aledo, but I haven't seen a more impressive program than Lake Ridge this year that I've watched.
They've looked
– I want to talk about Aledo Lake Ridge right now, and I want to talk about it for all 7 days because that has the potential to – I mean, it's a total coin flip. I mean, it really is crazy. And, Corbin, we were talking about it earlier, but – and you probably know better than I have, but who's Aledo played? You know, really. I mean, I
– What's that sound you hear? Oh, right. Region one. I mean, they've
it's not, wide open, Corbett.
Yeah. It is wide open. Yeah, they played an okay non-district schedule. They, you know, they did pick up a loss.
Yeah,
lost to Knox and Looney County or someplace in Mississippi.
I think that Mansfield being in the Lakeridge being in the district that it was throughout district season helped it.
The third place or fourth place or fifth place team in that district would be. One of the favorites in Alito's district. Not say Alito's district is bad, because Alito's got Centennial in there, and they had some other pretty good teams there. But if you look at your Arlington Seguin's going to be able to throw out guys out there that are going to compete.
Oh yeah,
You got your Waxahachies, which didn't make the playoffs. That's a really salty district, and for them to be where they are and to really just blow people out. Lancaster might have been their toughest game, and they, had some real fortunate breaks early in that game and just kept that lead at 21, I think, is what they won by. But that will be one of the games that I'm certainly watching on. The Division II bracket, I think Lone Star and Lancaster is, again, one of those state-caliber games. I think that the winner of that will be a clear favorite against either Lake Dallas or Everman in the next round of the playoffs. And then you're looking at potentially having Chris Gilbert and Lancaster making two state finals in three seasons or four seasons.
2012?
2012.
I think, yeah.
Yeah. So, that it would be a huge accomplishment there. Lone Star, no Frisco ISD team has ever been past the fourth round of the playoffs or has made it five rounds deep.
Make sure you get your wording right on this one.
I was going to say, are we sure about
Didn't they have Frisco, a semifinalist in 73?
Frisco High made the state semifinals, but the playoffs weren't as big.
Okay,
so they went four rounds deep, but there was one fewer round. So
you know who they beat that year?
They beat Allen. They beat Alito. Yeah.
They were the smallest 11-man schools in the state.
Yep, it was a class
A. In the
class A.
Yeah.
Or I guess at that time it was probably class B.
It's before the first Starbucks.
They beat Alito.
They started building everything in Allen and Frisco.
They beat Alito and Allen.
Wow.
Lost to Vega, which is not a burgeoning metroplex
out there
in West
Texas.
That
missed the boom, right?
Vega is out there west of Amarillo on I-40. But I'm really looking forward to that game. I think Everman and Lake Dallas has a chance to be a really good game, too.
Yep.
Lake Dallas, Dagan Hay and Keegan Brewer and those guys offensively can match it with anybody. Lake Everman's got Kier Crosley and a good rushing attack. They rushed for
Lake Dallas had our defensive player of the week.
They did. In 4A, Division I, Argyle and Liberty Ilo. That's going to be a really good game, too. Liberty Ilo, according to somebody who I really trust, Gabe Brooks, who's East Texas guy who now covers for Scout, he says he thinks Liberty Ilo has the most talent of any 4A program in the state, that physically that they're better than anybody. And that was including – teams like his he's from Carthage, including Carthage, including Navasota, including any of those other West Orange Stark.
Orange Stark, no way.
He's saying that Liberty Ilo is just loaded. So we'll see. That'll be an interesting matchup.
I got you, Mustangs.
In Division Two, you have Salina and Crum facing off.
I can't really go against Salina until somebody actually scores against them.
Well, I would let you know that they did play in district play, and it wasn't nice. Salina 69-14.
Hey, Crum got a couple TDs there.
Yeah, they did. And Salina also, Connor Pingleton threw for seven touchdowns.
Tingle Nation.
So, real quick aside, your favorites for offensive player of the year at this point. I think Pingleton's in the discussion. He's a small school guy, so he's going to have a tough time getting it. But you know, like Jet Duffy and Jason Shelley's doing. I've got to like what Kennedy Brooks is doing.
We don't
Eno
have a
Benjamin,
clear cut. We've
had
some clear cuts.
That's
in
what's
recent
great
years,
about this year.
Yeah, Kyler Murray. But.
I think the defensive one is also wide open. You went in there thinking Justin Matabuike would be the guy,
but he was injured
a lot of the year.
I like Levi. From Allen.
Yeah. Owen Zurique would be really good. I think that there's a lot of different choices there on the defensive side of the ball.
And defense is so much harder. I mean,
tell me about it.
I mean, because you play as a
hard to find those stats.
Person. Yeah.
Well, not only stats, but you just play as a unit, more. And that's not to say you don't play as a unit when you're on offense, but I mean, when you hand the ball to a guy 40 times a game.
Well, in the last couple of years, it's been pretty easy pickings because we've had guys like Solomon Thomas.
We've had Miles Garrett.
You've had Devontae Fields.
Garrett scares me.
Well, he scared a lot of people. You've had guys who are rush ins who had like 50 sacks, for a career. The 30 sacks for a year. It was some crazy. It's easy to do that. We don't have a standout guy like that this year. I would say another guy from the Allen defense, Jalen Jones.
Yeah.
They don't throw to him a bunch, so his tackle numbers and interception numbers aren't
right.
high.
Right, that's the hard
but
thing
he
if you're
is
a DB.
A really good cover
if you factor
cover
in
corner.
He's returned at least one kick for a touchdown, yeah. that's a big
right.
deal. You know, I mean, he does a lot
he
of
He killed Martin
things.
Last year with a big one. They were tied 41, and he got one this year, too.
Yeah.
He is a very nice player. Outside of that Salina game, you've got Sunnyvale and Mineola. Mineola at 12-0. That game's at Roy City at Saturday at 2, and that's going to be a tough task for Sunnyvale. Mineola's a pretty loaded team. Made the state final last year, lost to Cameron Yeo, who's still around in the Division 3 playoffs. They're facing my mom's alma mater, Teague.
Beat them.
Teague Lions. I like that. They got a good look. The orange and white, Teague Lions. I like it. And then in Taps, triple header. Five of the six teams, they should just rename Taps to like the North Texas. North
this is nothing new.
Taps.
There was
year.
Such a sad Angel Verdejo tweet where he's like, Houston misses out again.
Man, shucks.
Well, there's good program. I mean, St. Pius X, real good.
Yeah.
And then
I thought that Houston St. Thomas had a real good
Houston,
chance
St. Thomas
to beat
is the other one.
Preston Wood, but Preston Wood's, you know, kind of taken over. Just shows you where the powers that be. People are trying to say that the Metroplex is somehow – you know, fallen off this year. Well, you know, Cedar Hill's gone. That's true.
Yeah.
Trinity, but we were hoping would.
Yeah, yeah, but you look at who's left. Allen, probably the favorite in the Division I and 6A. Yeah. In 5A Division I, Alito's probably the favorite, but Mansfield Lake Ridge is right there. I think they'll challenge, you know, anybody, you know, be it Richmond George Ranch or, you know, Vandegrift or one of those teams from the Central Texas area.
Yeah.
The Division II playoffs, I mean, Cedar Park is, I think, the favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going for who's the next best team, the Lake Ridge, I mean, the Lone Star Lancaster winner is certainly there in the discussion. Argyle probably could be the favorite in the Division.
They've gotten better.
Division
each
one.
Week,
well, yeah. I mean, they're Argyle. They, right. Name a team that has been in more games than Argyle
right.
in the last 5 years. Argyle has the most playoff appearances of any team in our area. They have 27 playoff games since, including 2010.
Quick aside, yeah. They're not moving up, are they?
No.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, the entire school, I mean, just in all sports, they just win championships.
What if there wasn't Argyle Liberty Christian? They would probably beat Shiner for the state championship in 6A.
I thought Shiner beat Allen in that combined. Well,
I thought you were saying they're
better than Shiner.
I thought you were saying if there wasn't Liberty Christian, Argyle would move up in classification and have a little bit tougher ride
and
things.
But what happens if there wasn't, there was just one mega DIST high school? Okay, I digress.
Oh, well, then they would beat Allen, surely.
Division 2 in Taps, you got the two Christian schools we've already talked about, Fort Worth Christian. Their offensive coordinator, Sam Harrell.
Sam Harrell, former Ennis legend.
Former Ennis legend.
Coach. Yep.
And you've got Dallas Christian, one of the winningest coaches there in Mike Wheeler. And then you're defending Taps Division III champs, Cedar Hill, TC Cedar Hill. They lost their first three games, and now they've done what Rockwell has done, which is win 10 in a row. They're one win away against Shiner St. Paul. The St. Pauli's? That would be like double
swing
beer.
And a miss.
Double beer, like a St. Pauli's jersey
the
with Pauly a Shiner.
Girl with on
right.
the, yeah.
with holding a Shiner.
Yeah. That would be very appropriate. Yeah.
Shiner St. Paul has 8 shutouts on the season.
Good for them.
Just a little highlight there. Final thoughts, guys?
I think it's crazy that we measure an area's success by state championships, which
sounds like a guy coming from Beaumont.
Oh.
Thanks. and here's my point real quick is that I forget who I was talking about this with the other day, that in Taps it's not set up region wide, right? Like, it's not like the Dallas teams play each other
right.
first, and so we're saying that if in UIL, like, there's a lot of teams that would probably still be alive if they didn't have to play other DFW teams in the area by district and area around.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's
just
crazy
thinking
about, you know, the idea of DFW having it. Trinity was so good this year. South Lake Carroll, really good this year. You know, Cedar Hill, also really good this year. Like, how many rounds would they go if they didn't have to play buzzsaws from their own area?
It's true.
You know?
But the Houston area is really champing at the bit to kind of take over that. I mean, there's such a good Houston-Dallas dynamic.
But I think Houston doesn't bring as much depth, because with Houston you have Katie, you have North Shore, you have Westfield, you have Manville.
There's a lot of smaller programs in the suburbs that are just like your Lone Stars and your Lake Ridges that are trying to establish themselves. George Ranch,
right,
has been incredible. Richmond Foster has been good.
Mm-hmm. Spring,
Spring. You have some tradition there, but right. You got Westfield and Spring. I mean, there's a lot of talent in the Houston area. There's no doubt. It's just what happens on the biggest stages. It hasn't been, these games haven't been close in large part. I mean, the Dallas area has played some close games against some Central Texas teams and some close games against, some Houston area teams, but they've won out. And in some of those cases, especially in the biggest classification, Allen has just taken care of business against, if it's Lamar or if it's Cy Ranch, they last year especially, they took care of business.
And that's why you would like to see some of those Houston schools bump up to that, division.
Well, I mean,
just
but
to have fun
you,
and
you,
see.
You would have a team like Pearland. Pearland beat Euless Trinity a few years ago in the state
2010,
final.
2010, yep.
And that was a great game, but that was a surprise. Mm-hmm. People came in thinking that Pearland was a 2-touchdown underdog, and they ended up running some trick plays and getting that win. So we'll see. There is something to be said about the home field advantage. We'll talk about that as far as we go along. We'll probably do a story about it, that people in the Houston area think that there is a decided home field advantage playing in the Metroplex. We will see, probably best to do that story maybe as a postmortem, to see, travel wise, how these teams deal with it. But
especially if
I'm excited.
Storm.
Yes.
Cross the fingers.
I'm excited. You only have, 64 teams left? No. You have like 180,000 teams left, because there's.
Everybody gets a trophy nowadays.
So, yeah, you'd have 80 teams left.
Mm. Right.
Yeah. 80 teams.
No.
Math.
Because we have six of them.
Boop.
I didn't get hired for math.
96, right?
I was told there would
teams.
Be no math.
Yes. 96 teams left.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, it's
going
to be.
We'll have some people on when we get some.
Quick, alphabetically, Corbett.
Okay.
Allen.
Alito. Alito before Allen.
Right.
As Chris Gilbert, the Lancaster coach, tweeted, teams to remember play in December. And that's true. We're out. Sports HS Week Football Podcast. Follow us on the iTunes. And make sure you catch our website, which is Sports Day HS. We'll have all sorts of stuff throughout the week. Thanks for listening, guys.